All right, I love this.
I can't remember this guy's name. He's Russian, right, Kevin? Mr. Somebody.
Isn't it the little guy on The Price is Right who climbed up the little...
No, it's not that guy.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know that guy. The feisty Eric Zorn joins us right now. He does every Monday to talk about stuff. Hi, Eric. Welcome back. You were away last week. Marie Schmeek filled in.
I was away, and that's why we played this music, because it's what... I am so happy to be back home, I think, is the Russian translation.
I think this should be your theme. This and feisty. This is it.
It's very jolly, and I'm back after a week's absence. I did hear Marie Schmeek. I'm a faithful listener to your podcast.
Oh, thank you for that.
And your readers, who for some weird reason might have to miss some of your show for something stupid like work or family obligations, you can catch up on all the segments plus the full show.
Well, yeah, that's nice.
Sometimes you want to listen to both. You want to hear the whole show, and then you want to go back and listen to the segments, you know, to see how they fit in. But whatever.
WGNRadio.com or TuneIn app or get the WGN app.
It's on
app.
iTunes. I get mine through iTunes.
Oh, that's nice of you.
I was out in San Francisco listening to you guys talk to Marie Schmeek last week.
Yeah.
I wasn't here.
Oh, you weren't here? That's right. It was
Notice Judy I was Pilak, very quiet?
Yeah. Judy, yes. No, you were very quiet. No, yes, right. It was Judy. But
on your flight back, you were on the airplane with somebody of some renown.
Yeah, I was walking through coach class, getting ready to find my seat, and I walked by Governor Rauner.
Oh, how about that?
He was in row 10, and like we were in row 20. And I just walked by, and I caught his eye. And he
punched him in the arm?
He nodded at me. I nodded at him, I don't know. I'm not sure he recognized me. I was kind of out of context, you know, on a plane coming from LA to Chicago. But he's so recognizable. He's just a very distinctive looking guy.
He smiling as usual?
No, I was like, hey, you flying back?
Yeah.
Did you do Nux?
No, I didn't. It was like totally out of nowhere, you know, where you're just like walking down the aisle on the plane. And I was thinking, I really kind of wanted to talk to him. And I was thinking, well, I'll talk to him about baggage claim, but of course he was long gone by the time I don't think he checked his bags.
Oh, he can't check. He's not going to just sit there and wait for his bags to be
coach.
A target.
Doesn't that impress you that he's in coach, or do you think that's just an affectation?
I think if somebody saw him in first class now with our budget not being approved,
there'd
he
be
would
criticism.
Guess, yeah.
I seriously doubt he was on state business.
My
guess is that he was probably out there visiting one of his houses or something.
Oh, maybe.
I didn't see any bodyguards around him or anything like that. It was just one of the, it reminded me, I flew back from Boston once with Rod Blagojevich in coach.
Yeah.
And of course, Blagojevich was chatting up everybody. It looked like Rauner was just kind of sitting there minding his own business, and nobody was giving him any attention particularly. When I flew back with Blagojevich, he was glad handing people and standing up. And then the flight attendant came back and said, you know, Governor, we're upgrading you to first class. And he said, "Oh no, not me! I'm not going to go to first class. I'm going to be back here with my people." And it was classic Blagojevich. The difference between
wouldn't
those
you have
two.
Criticized Rauner though if he was sitting in first class, even though as
I would
we just
expect
said,
it.
I was actually surprised. I was surprised, maybe even pleasantly surprised that he was back in coach. Although you think about it, the guy's worth so much money. He made what, $60 million, or makes that about. And you think, and he's a tall man too. Mm-hmm. You think he would like the little extra leg room? He wasn't even in one of those like exit rows or something. You think like maybe they put him in a special?
No, that's
row.
The pressure. You don't want to sit in an exit row. Too much pressure.
There is.
I think he's got enough pressure going on. But this brings the question I have is: have you ever walked by on an airplane walked by somebody famous or sat near somebody famous on an airplane?
Well, Wendy already knows this, but on a flight again to Los Angeles in December. There were two guys that had been on The Amazing Race last season, and they were so obnoxious for the whole flight, just nonstop obnoxious. They kept mentioning the fact they were on Amazing Race. Like if the flight attendant came by and asked for something to drink, the one guy go, "We should have a Sprite like we did when we were on The Amazing Race." Like they just kept saying that they were on The Amazing Race over and over and over.
We're buckling up our seatbelts just like we did.
Just
on the
like
Amazing.
We weren't allowed to on
We've
The Amazing Race.
We've got to put our tray tables back up.
Yeah, they were just... They wanted all the spotlight to be on them, and collectively, the rest of the airplane all looked at each other and we went, We don't care that you're on the Amazing Race.
And the number of people who do care is going to diminish slowly time to the point that in a few years you'll mention it and people go, what was that show again? I didn't see that. So
my brush with greatness on a plane and at baggage check when I was going to L.A. to see one of my friends, Billy Deck was on the plane.
Was he?
He shows up
He's in a lot
everywhere.
Of places. There's more than one Billy Deck, I think.
He's got body doubles.
There's a couple of Billy Decks.
Where'd you just see him?
He was on The People versus O.J. Simpson last week.
As an expert.
Yeah,
of some
he played
sort.
The role of expert.
And in Amy Schumer's Trainwreck, I noticed him.
He was there too.
Yeah, he was like a bartender, and then he was in two scenes. Totally recognized him, and then, he was on my flight.
So do you, when you see somebody like that on a plane, you walk by him, or you sit near him, do you talk to him?
Hey, Billy, that's what I did, and I walked by. And then I talked to him at baggage check.
That's where I had an incident with Mike Singletary, a very pleasant incident years ago.
Very low voice.
Mike Singletary? Oh, yeah. And big eyes, huge eyes. And then he tackled me for
Samurai Mike.
So I had that situation with him, an actress from All My Children that I recognized, Taylor Miller. But she
Nina?
Knows, yeah, but she knows my wife. So that one... That actually played out well.
So you didn't,
she recognized
so you didn't
my wife.
Feel like a fanboy. Kind of,
yeah, well,
Nina.
I still did that. I found a way to make
it
that happen.
It was Nina, for God's sake.
Right.
You worry you're going to come off like Chris Farley on the Saturday Night Live sketch. Yes. You're like, hey, you're Mike Singletary. What's that like?
Well, my brother, years ago in Las Vegas, we were kids, and we went to the MGM Grand in Las Vegas, and my brother gets on an elevator, and then Dinah Shore got on a floor after him. So my brother just pointed at her the whole way down, and then at the bottom when they got off, he just went, you're Dinah Shore, and then got off the elevator.
That's sweet, though, and she's used to that.
But she knew she was Dinah Shore.
It's cute, Bill.
I guess so.
What would you say? I wouldn't. If I sat near somebody, if I were sitting near somebody who was famous, I would think that most people who are famous don't want to be recognized or talked to in airplanes. It's such a confined... You can't, sign an autograph and the person will go away or something. You're there for, an hour, two, three, in this case, 4 hours. Do you want someone next to you going, what if he sits next to, some drunk on the airplane?
Right.
Like, Governor, here's what you should do.
I'll fix the budget for you.
I got a spreadsheet for you. Yeah.
I got your budget right here.
Put that book away.
Right. That makes for an enjoyable trip.
I hate that. So.
You should acknowledge them, though, and just kind of go, big fan, or hey, how's it going? I think it's respectful to acknowledge that you know who they are and that you're leaving them alone.
Oh, there, you can score some points doing that.
Yeah.
You can
Governor Rauner, I'll be sitting over there and leaving you completely alone, sir.
I will not come by to harass you.
Not even once.
Eric, have you met him on numerous occasions? Because you're in the studio every week, and I don't think I'd recognize you on the street. If you're out of your element...
You wouldn't recognize Eric on the street?
I guess I would. But you know how when you see people not in their element, it doesn't... Like you mentioned when you see teachers, Bill.
Yeah, it's always weird.
Yeah, like you see them at a grocery store and you're like...
What, they eat food?
Well, it's like, I know that face, but where do I know it from?
Yeah, well, I think... I'm guessing that's probably how Rauner reacted when he saw me. I've seen him a couple of times in the Tribune editorial board sessions. And my little face is in the paper. I don't know if he probably
your face
has
is bigger in real
blown
life,
up, blown enough. Up to be a dartboard. There's a lot of things I've written about him. So I don't know. And someone who's in his position, obviously, even when he was in business and also in government, he meets so many people.
Of course.
So it's always weird to,
Yep.
I mean, so to come up to him and say, hey, remember me? And I've written those columns about you where I counted the times you dropped all your G's. And
that'd be funny.
He would love that.
Failed governor. Yeah.
Eric Zorn is here, everybody, from your Chicago Tribune. If you'd like to jump in, 312-981-7200. More show coming your way next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. The feisty Eric Zorn joins us to talk about things, as he does every Monday. He writes for the Chicago Tribune. You made an interesting statement not a moment or two ago. Trump is going down, you said.
It looks like Trump stop me if you've heard this before.
Uh-oh.
But Donald Trump has said and done some things recently that it's going to cost him a great deal of support.
Wait, you don't think women who get an abortion should be punished? You don't think so?
Well,
he's backpedaled on that.
He took that back, Bill.
You can't take stuff back.
No,
you can't.
Well, what you can't take back is the fact that you're not prepared. You haven't thought these issues through. And it wasn't a gaffe in that you would say something that you don't mean or that you inadvertently say something that you truly believe. It was a gaffe that he hadn't thought about that question at all. And you could see, as Chris Matthews, and for anyone who missed this last week, Chris Matthews from MSNBC is grilling Trump about the question of should women be punished if they have an abortion, if abortion is made illegal. And, you know, you could just see, like, there's this panic in his expression and behind his eyes. He's like, I haven't thought about this. I don't even, this has never occurred to me.
Yeah.
And so he's like, he's trying to do the thing that you would do if you're a third grader or writing an essay about To Kill a Mockingbird,
right,
or something like that.
Just stalling. Okay, first, kind of stuff.
But he turned it around on Chris Matthews then about what are your beliefs, and, you know, you're Catholic, I'm sure you, and Chris Matthews says, you know, morally, I'm against it, but I don't think it should be a legal issue. And it's like, who cares what Chris Matthews thinks?
Right, but Chris Matthews, to his credit, held his feet to the fire and made him answer the question. And ultimately, Trump said, well, yeah, I think women should be punished for having an abortion, and if it's made illegal. And then, of course, this creates a firestorm on both sides, because the anti-abortion people don't want that to be said, and obviously the people who are pro-abortion rights don't want that to happen. So he alienated both sides, but again, I think the real crime there was just this fact that there are these major issues in public life that he hasn't really thought through very carefully. I would say the same thing is true of his idea that we should give nukes to South Korea and Japan and let them defend themselves rather than put them under our nuclear umbrella. This has been, again, one of those things that's been widely criticized on both sides. And he had this thing with his campaign manager,
Lewandowski,
who was charged with assault for grabbing this, or was it battery, a minor battery? I guess a bit battery it would be. He grabbed this
Breitbart reporter,
and yanked on her arm, and which to me seems like part of what happens when you're in the scrum of a reporter. I think it was.
Anna DeVlanta says. Sometimes it gets kind of crazy, and, you know, but still, Corey Lewandowski shouldn't be the one to do it. Maybe someone else related to the.
He shouldn't be, and Trump's instinct, of course, was to deny that it happened and to say that this woman was making it up.
Right.
And then he was saying, well, maybe she was attacking me with a bomb that looked like a pen and stuff.
Yeah, right. Definitely.
But anyway, he's having a lot of trouble in Wisconsin connecting. He sent Sarah Palin up there to do what
and that did
surrogate.
Not go well.
That was a complete bust.
Right.
Who thought that would have gone well?
Well, whoever would have thought it would have gone, whoever thought Sarah Palin was going to go well.
I thought Trump was actually going, really? I don't need your help. Thank you.
I would think, well, he had that one thing, was before the Iowa caucuses where she came out and spoke, and then she's out there prattling away, and in the background Trump was looking like, oh my goodness, what's going on here? You think that they would have just sent her back to Alaska, but she's in Wisconsin. She did really poorly. I guess all the radio talk show hosts have turned on him in Wisconsin because he has been criticizing Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker, who is very popular with Republicans in Wisconsin. He's got 80% approval ratings up there, and Trump has been, to his credit, he's been making some fair criticisms of what Governor Walker has done up there. Wisconsin has not been a model of great performance of Republican ideals.
Right.
But you're criticizing a guy who's really popular up there. So the latest polls that I've seen have shown Cruz with a significant lead up in Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
And if Cruz beats Trump well in Wisconsin, he's going to not only make it really hard to impossible for Trump to get to his magic number
1237
is that the number? I should have it tattooed somewhere. but to get to that delegate number that he needs, but it's also going to really cut into the momentum and the inevitability factor. So that we've got the Pennsylvania primary coming up, the New York primary coming up. Those are two major things coming up in the next couple weeks. Right now, Trump has got big leads in both places, but those leads could easily crumble if a major defeat tomorrow, which I expect, causes voters to rethink him.
Somebody is confirming what you said, 312. Trump is losing credibility. It sure seems like it. But I'm ignoring all this until I vote in November.
But isn't it preposterous to think that he's losing credibility now? After all,
no, it's preposterous to think that he had credibility to lose. That's the part that's preposterous.
But this is when we're saying, like, okay, now he's done it. I mean, in walks Steve Bertrand, who is my fellow panelist on the Mincing Rascals every week. And how many times, Steve, have we said, okay, this is it. Donald Trump has gone too far. He's lost his support.
Every week.
Just about every
week. There's something every week, absolutely.
And you think, well,
but this has finally hit home with some people.
It really seems to have. I mean, we'll see tomorrow.
And we're getting all these texts, you know, abortion, if made illegal again, is murder. Don't you think they should be punished for murdering someone? Duh. It's just really...
It's a really tough question for people who want to make abortion illegal to deal with. Actually,
but both sides, you're right. He's finally done it.
And you know, and abortion politics, I think, are going to be fairly important this year because of the Supreme Court issue, which is going to be looming over this election. So,
Eric, thank you. Appreciate it. We will see you next Monday. Steve Bertrand is here, and we'll talk about what he has coming up next. It's Bill F. and Wendy Snyder on WGN.